want to attract his attention.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. For now, to the people at home in the crowd, it keeps coming anyhow. Don't decoy your voice, don't make me avoid the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it.
Now we talk about sex on the radio and video shows. Many will know that anything goes. Take a needle, press pause. Will that stop us? I doubt it. All right then, come on and spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Hard to try, make any man's eyes pop. Fellas drool like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit, cause her body was a booming. No love, just sex. For the max with a check and a no. That last night.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex.
Hi.
Welcome
to Having Sex with Megan
and Jordan
and Celine.
Yes, you have to introduce your own self now.
Wow. We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, moving up. Big adult woman
on 102.7 CILU,
the radio and the internet
and streaming.
Yes. So I didn't know what you said at first.
You're,
I was like
huh?
Three men?
What? I know.
Streaming. Pardon me.
Streaming online from luradio.ca/listen.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome. How is everyone on this day?
Delightful.
Good.
Having a great one.
Good.
Surviving.
Mm-hmm. Less good than delightful.
Yeah. You know, okay. I had a morning run in with the Thunder Bay police
with the law.
We're doing just fine.
Are
we're
we?
Surviving.
She made it out alive.
How are you, Jordan?
I'm good. Yeah, yes. I think I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm feeling quiet.
That can be good.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
No, I'm feeling chill.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent the evening with a man friend and nope.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
It was, yes, and then it was no.
Yeah, no, it was a learning experience. Oh. I was told a few things. It was a research project.
Ooh.
All yes, at that.
Yes. Everything is a research project now. Once you have a sex show, everything is research.
Yeah, so I did some research with a friend, and I learned some things about my community at large, the community of gay men, and learn some things. It kind of just like, what is it when you already know something? And
reinforced?
Then reinforced. Kind of reinforced some, I would say, negative stereotypes.
Oh, no.
That I was like, dang, this stuff is real pervasive.
This is rampant
in
the community. Like that. That's so annoying.
So stay tuned in a week or two when I unleash that upon you.
Why a week or two?
Just because I don't have it ready.
Oh,
we
yes.
already had a
we
topic.
We gotta think about it. Okay.
Yeah, we already had something for this week, so I didn't want to be like, "Well, sorry, guys."
I mean, I threw something in this week that we weren't gonna talk about, but I just felt it needed to be talked about.
What? Let me check my notes, girl, because I don't know what you're talking about.
The dissertation.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? No, that was where
we weren't talking about open relationships or polyamory at all. That was part of
sorry,
what we were talking
down
about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the bottom,
yeah.
The whole extra page.
Yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
That was just me going off.
When Megan went all the way off.
Okay, that's fine. Well, this week, just so everyone is aware, we're chatting a little bit about sex robots
again, because we love that topic. It's so interesting.
it
really
is.
There's so many layers.
It's true.
And then I guess Megan's gonna school us a tiny bit on polyamory and open relationships.
Yeah, I was listening to a different podcast and they were talking about it, but it was from a very cis straight woman perspective.
Okay.
And they weren't talking about polyamory, they were just talking about open relationships. And I was like, you know what? I think people have a misconception and I would like to just discuss it a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into that though, I have a question to pose.
Oh, please
to
do.
The room. I'm going to see how weird I can get week after week. I'm going to see how much more strange I can get into the
How are you going to get stranger?
I'm going to take it to the next ASMR level.
There were a couple of days there where you did like a voice that I'd never heard before. And you were what am I doing?
What was it?
It was like a high voice, I think. I can't remember. It was different. It was fun. I had a good time.
I'm sorry that I'm less fun now, I guess.
It's just different weird. That's all.
Okay. Anyway. Well, here's my question for you.
Ask it.
What's the sexiest TV or movie robot?
Difficult question.
Very difficult.
Difficult?
Mm-hmm. I think they try to make them sometimes intentionally, like in some ways sexy, but in other ways very much not human, and therefore I find it difficult.
Okay.
To find them sexy? It's like they're riding that line. So sometimes I'm like, yeah, you got like a nice face, and I can see where they were trying to like make you look humanoid, but in another way. I don't really like that I can see exposed wires. That's maybe not my jam.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that as fair. I wanted to immediately come back at, like, what if I had, like, exposed a prosthetic? Wires. Yeah, like, a prosthetic that had exposed wires.
I think that's fine. I think it's...
Because you know I'm a human?
Yeah.
How much prosthetics do I need until I'm not a human?
Oh. The whole thing is...
Too philosophical.
Yeah, no, I think it's, like, that's the thing about, like, artificial intelligence is none of it is actually biological or... It's all man-made,
mm-hmm. right?
Which is where you come into the, like, artificial intelligence robot. I don't think it's a robot if you're, like, it's like, even if it was, like, a brain and the rest of it was manufactured, I think it's still a person. It's when it's 100% man-made that I'm like, that's a robot. That's different.
Okay. But who's the sexiest?
Robot.
Yeah. I'm going to take it to the movie AI Artificial Intelligence.
Yep.
Jude Law as the character Gigolo Joe, the pleasure bot.
Love that. Is Jude Law visibly a robot at all in that movie? I can't remember.
Yeah, well, he's shiny. Like,
shiny.
He looks like he's made out of, like, a non-organic material.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a 90s movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
80s, maybe?
I think.
I'm just thinking, like, the age of, like, how the technology worked with, like, making movies. Mm. It's fun that they could do that kind of effect.
Definitely.
On a biological
That
man.
Movie is from 2001.
Really? It's newer than I thought. Mm-hmm. But still, that was early in CGI, so that's cool that they made him shiny.
Yeah. Actually, probably at that time, I'm going to assume that it was just makeup. They probably just dumped his face in oil and were like, perfect. You look like plastic.
Can you imagine how much they would have had to reapply that?
They invented highlighter on that
set. Jude Law really did it for that movie. That's where Pat McGrath got her start, was making Jude Law look shiny.
Hey, maybe. I don't know.
Could be. Listen, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Sexy robots. That's hard.
Celine?
Like, I don't find any of them sexy, so I think I'm going to go with R2-D2 just because he could be used as a vehicle as well, like, if you just perched atop his head.
Okay.
So that could be fun.
And, like, a sassy personality who doesn't
love... Yeah, I don't think that he would like that. Like, I don't know that he would allow...
I think he would, actually.
Okay.
Well, I think my mans would actually like that.
Oh. sorry. Never mind. Foot in mouth. Whatever.
Whatever. What's that movie called? Ex Machina?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, true.
She's pretty...
Well, she's intentionally made sexy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Which I'm like, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the character... What's her name?
Ava,
you're right.
Yeah.
Have you seen Celine, Ex Machina?
I'm not a robot gal.
Okay, well the movie is more... It's more philosophical than it is robots. But I guess, philosophical robot movie. It's about...
Every movie about robots ends up being philosophical, I think. Yeah, they always end up with the, like, point of, like, is it a man or is it a machine?
Basically,
always
the question of the movie is, what is human?
Yeah.
But, like, this robot character, you find out eventually that, like, her entire existence is based off of this one man's internet searches and, like, all of the data about him.
Wow.
Basically. So all of her, like... facial appearance and whatnot is intended to be based off of his, like, porn searches.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought.
Yeah, which really brings you it kind of around into, like, wow, think about all of the data that is available on you out there in the world that someone can take and manipulate your life.
That reminds me of a Disney Channel movie.
Really?
I know. No, really, though. It was with, what's his name? The guy from Phil of the Future.
Phil of the Future? Phil?
Yeah, the guy who played Phil. I can't remember his name. Ravi something? Anyway, but he basically makes a digital girl to, like, front his band. And he's got all these post-it notes with body parts that he's written, like, 74%, 14%, like, which ones were the most attractive. And he made her out of, like, an amalgamation of all of these women he knew. And he was, like, talking to his friend who's a girl. And he was like, she has your nose.
Disney
and she was
know.
Like, that's weird and not cool that you used a piece of me to make this perfect girl that you think is ideal.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that.
And also, that's like an
that's
older
like very
film.
Frankenstein sounding.
It was, yeah. But it was interesting because it wasn't a robot. It was like a projection.
Hmm.
Like it was something he made digitally and then projected on things is very interesting. But yeah, same kind of idea where it's like all of my idealized parts of people put onto one digital being that doesn't have... like autonomy.
Was it called Pixel Perfect?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, it was. I remember it vividly.
Okay, cool. That's a made-for-TV Disney Channel original movie.
Yes. I loved made-for-Disney Channel original movies.
Wow. I didn't know they would tackle something like that. Cool. Yeah. Disney, go off. Love that.
Old Disney when they did good stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten a little bit too.
His name's Raviv Ullman.
Raviv Ullman, yes. Yeah. He's Middle Eastern.
Israeli?
I think so, yeah.
Literally staring at his
Israeli.
Wikipedia
there you go. Page. He's Israeli, yeah. He changed his name recently, or like he's going by his actual name. He used to go by
Ricky.
Ricky, because it was not ethnic.
Yeah.
And now he's like, you know what?
A lot of people in Hollywood do that.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't like Tom, what's his, yeah, Tom Cruise. His name's not Tom Cruise.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I know that Martin Sheen's name isn't Martin Sheen.
Really? Do you know what his actual name is?
Martin Sheen's real name is Manuel. What's his son's name? Hold on. And Charlie Sheen's name isn't Charlie Sheen either. What's Martin Sheen's last name? Estevez.
Oh, cool.
And Charlie Sheen is Carlos Estevez. And then really his brother's name is Emilio Estevez, and he kept it when he was famous. But people were like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm Martin Sheen's son, but his name isn't Martin. He's actually Estevez. But yeah. Charlie Sheen's Hispanic. Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Tom Cruise's name is actually Thomas Cruise Mapother the Fourth.
Mapother?
I think. I don't know how to say that. Mapother? Mapother.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Mapother is kind of a mouthful, and Cruise is just Cruise.
Right.
Cruises right through. Cruises right off the tongue.
But it is part of his name, so that's interesting. Yeah. It's not just made up.
No, that's true. He got it from somewhere, I guess.
That's fun.
Cute for him.
Love that for him.
Speaking of cute, robots. They could be cute.
Yeah.
Like WALL-E and R2-D2, yes. As we said.
Yes.
But sex robots, are they cute? Who knows?
and that's the end of that segment.
And that's that on that.
No. Well, okay. So first, I thought maybe we'd start just defining what is a robot.
Mm-hmm. This is a great question.
Well.
No, because I just think about it and I'm like, what is a robot? Go ahead.
The Merriam-Webster would have you know.
That lady.
Robot is a machine that resembles a living creature in that it's being capable of moving independently as by walking or rolling on wheels and performing complex actions such as grasping and moving objects.
Okay.
Okay, so a robot is anything that kind of moves on its own.
Okay.
Okay.
Without you having to
physically
move
it. Adjust it. Okay.
Yes. And then artificial intelligence. Okay, so AI is the simulation of human intelligence processes by machines, especially computer systems. Mm-hmm. These processes include learning, the acquisition of information and rules, reasoning, using rules to reach approximate or definite conclusions, and self-correction.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's robots and that's AI.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, sex robots, what do you think of when you think of a sex robot? Like, just terminology, first thing that comes to your mind.
It's a good question. I don't think of AI when I think of sex robots. I don't think of them as being as like, I don't feel like they would put the learning ability into a sex robot. I feel like they reserve it for like right now because it's expensive to make and it's difficult to teach it things and it's dangerous. I don't think they're going to put it in something that's mass produced for the public.
I'm going to let you know that they did.
I don't like that.
And it's happening.
Wish they wouldn't. But I think of like, I saw an episode of, what was it? Weird Addictions or something like that.
Okay.
Where a guy had, it was a doll. It wasn't a robot. But I just think of the way that looked and how it was like basically a life-size Barbie with like bio skin.
Okay.
And he was like in love with it. Like he had a relationship with this it was a sex doll, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think of that when I think of a sex robot. I'm like, oh, yeah, probably looks like that, but maybe can move on its own.
Right.
But I can't really get that out of my mind of that, like, just hollow eyes, no emotion kind of idea. That's what comes to my mind.
Hollow eyes, no emotion.
Yeah. Because it's inanimate. So yeah. I couldn't really animate it in my mind. I've never seen one, so.
Right. I think similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, yeah, they look pretty much the same in my mind, too.
Okay.
Cool. Same. My first thought is always like it's like always goes to like a fembot kind of.
Yeah. Yes. Like yeah. Definitely. Femininity. My mind always goes to a feminine form, not a masculine one.
That being said, technically, a sex robot would include like the first, I guess, vibrators. You could say they weren't vibrators at the time, though. They were like essentially a dildo attached to a rod. Which was then attached to a motor, and the rod would move on its own. Because way back when, we know doctors said that what is it called? Women had, yeah, they were hysterical, and the only way to solve it was through vaginal orgasm. So here's this device which will solve all those problems.
Yes.
Technically a sex robot.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of a metal rod. That sounds like it could be dangerous.
Well, I mean, but it has to be attached to something.
No, I know, but just like, yeah. You hear about like metal rods, a broom handle that just don't go well.
I'm sure that someone just like Jimmy rigged it together at some point.
No, it was definitely someone who was just like, I think this will work. Let's try it out on somebody. And then they were like, it's fine. No one died. So,
yeah,
good enough. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Because I always think of like a humanoid thing.
No, I do too. I think,
but I guess you're right. It could just be something that's, as long as it's moving of its own accord, it's a robot. So
yeah, so what we think of then when we're saying like sex robots and we're thinking of this fembot creature is more like you said earlier, more of a sex doll than it is a robot, because more often than not it can't move on its own in a way that we kind of like assume that it's going to.
It doesn't mimic human movement.
It doesn't mimic human movement realistically enough.
Because that's nearly impossible to program.
Yeah, too hard yet. Too hard. The money is probably not in the industry.
Yeah. Well, and it's the learning thing too with like artificial intelligence. It's like, okay, we have to teach it how to be a person essentially. And it's like, well, I learned how to be a person in about 10 years it took me probably to like learn how to function and move. So you're going to like make a robot do that? It's just like so much time and energy and money that I assume they wouldn't. They're just like, you know what? Nah. Let's not.
True. But at the same time, they're doing it with the AI. Like the AI, Siri is,
I'm talking AI. Like with motion. Like you're that, like it's not just like, let me learn facts, let me learn information. Oh, it's like let me learn how to physically move these muscles in a way. Let me learn how to react to situations in a humanoid way. That's a total next step of like AI that I don't know that we're at yet for public consumption. I'm sure they've got stuff they're working on that we don't know about, like Sophia the Robot's probably like there, but like they're not publicly Sophia consumable the robot, yet.
Yeah, no, she's conversational.
Yeah, but like, she doesn't move in like a humanoid way, really.
No, she moves in a terrifying
and even
way.
When she and even when she speaks, you're like, yeah, but also something's wrong.
You're right.
True. Her sense of humor, though, is like top notch.
True. It's because like, we're into dadaist humor now where it's just absurd. So the things that she says are absurd and we're like, that's funny. And it's like, actually, it's just absurd. She just isn't a person.
Well, no, I like when she says that she's going to like annihilate the human race, though.
True.
And like, I think she means it.
Yeah. It's
a joke, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is where I find it funny. I'm like, go off, Sophia. I know you will.
Please do it. Yeah. That's real.
But I love sex robots. I think they're the future. Honestly, they're happening. We can't stop them.
Wow. True.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan.
I'm ready to embrace it.
I'm also not the biggest fan.
I can't afford it, but...
When you say embrace it, what do you mean? Like, everyone has one in their home? Is that the situation? Or what's
like, they exist and, like, they're available kind of thing. Like, it's going to be in stores eventually. Maybe not stores, but, like, you know, some... You can buy them.
Yeah.
You know, like you order it, whatever. I think that it's coming.
It's an eventuality. Yeah, it's like, not a possibility.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. Like there's, who were we talking about earlier? Kim Richards we had brought up.
Yeah.
On, offline. We had brought her up. And she has, I can't remember what her like movement is called, but like she is like, we need to stop it from happening. We need to curb it right now.
Right.
I'm very much of the idea that like, Kim, that's not, it's no longer
a possibility.
Yeah. It is happening. Yeah, you will not stop these people.
It's kind of spooky too. Cause like a lot of the time with scientific advancement, people are like, maybe we should stop. And then like sometimes the people, like the scientists behind it are like, I think we should stop. And everyone's like, advancement, man, you can't stop it. It's just going to happen. And then like nuclear bombs happen. Right. So it's like, maybe just because we can't stop advancement doesn't mean we shouldn't.
Right.
And like this is obviously, well, not obviously, but this might not be as dangerous as a nuclear bomb. But we don't know. We don't know the potential. We don't know what, especially with artificial intelligence. It's like, what is it capable of? We literally have no idea. So it's kind of like, be wary, maybe. No, not that like we have to stop immediately and like don't ever try to do anything new, but like just consider and maybe like question what this advancement means and what it's doing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, people are going to have sex with it. Or, like, more so, I think it's masturbation than sex because, like, it's not a person.
Yes. You know? It's, you're using a tool.
It's a sex toy at the end of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. The artificial intelligence coming into question, I think, really, that I don't understand really the programming of artificial intelligence. And I think it would really come down to, like, what, what kind of like blocks are programmed into it.
Yes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think the sex doll is going to take over the world kind of thing. Like Sophia the robot, they're kind of like,
yeah,
I feel like she's an experiment on like how far you can go with AI.
Yes.
Whereas like a sex doll, I feel the AI is not going to be as...
it's going to be limited.
Yeah, it's not going to be Sophia's AI. It's going to be very like conversational, but you'll eventually realize like, oh, it's going to recycling phrases at some
yes.
point.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you disagree? Tell me.
I mean, I'm not so much worried about...
I'll accept the noise. Okay.
It's not so much about the robot. I'm not scared of the robot so much.
Okay.
I'm more like, why do you, a person, want to have sex with something that looks like a person?
Right.
And maybe at some point we'll be able to move and act like a person. I don't know where we're at. But doesn't have one of the vital things that human beings have, which is the ability to consent.
Right.
Why do you want that? Just as like a question. Like, I'm not saying that you have a nefarious purpose necessarily, but just like consider why you want that. Why do you want the ability to have sex with something that looks like a person but cannot give consent and cannot say no to you, cannot be like, I don't want to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
It just always wants to have sex when you want to. I think it's kind of like allowing people to avoid things that happen in human relationships that make them complicated and make them difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my partner doesn't want to have sex with me. We need to talk about that because we have different needs and different values. Okay, well, now we have to have a discussion. Whereas it's like, oh, I do what I want when I want. And this other thing doesn't have an opinion.
Right.
Can't have one.
I think it's like not, it's like, to me, it's a masturbatory tool, but it's also adding in like a companionship or like an intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like that's just kind of blurring the lines of like a human to human relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And which may reinforce like problematic behavior if that person ever were with another non-robot.
Non-robot entity.
Right. Yes. That's me. A non-robot entity. Mm-hmm. That's how I identify.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that is our future, is being like, oh yeah, I am a non-robot entity. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, fair points, absolutely. Going off of what Celine said, I feel like just with the direction that we are going with artificial intelligence, I think that that actually is something that will, not in the nearest of future, but like,
who knows?
I don't know, in 100 years or so, we'll like as a society really have to address or look at interactions with artificial intelligence, because people already show like they already have companionship with artificial intelligence. They already show like an emotional bond to things that are not human.
Yes.
I was watching something and they were talking about how in the military they have like funerals for the robots that go and like remove landmines and stuff when they make a mistake and like get destroyed and whatnot. They have a funeral for it because they have a bond with this like cute robot that goes.
I've heard people talking about their Roombas too, where they're like, it's like a dog, it acts like a pet, so I'm attached to it.
Like the rovers on Mars.
Yeah,
you know, like there's a big to-do when the last one like died
too. We use terms that we use for humans for these died robots.
Truly, the battery died.
The battery died, but we're like, it died and it sang happy birthday to itself, and people were like, that was sad. And it's like, it doesn't have a birthday, it wasn't born, it was made. But we humanize it in that way where it has like a birthday and you sing it a song and people were sad for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that we've already humanized these things that really don't look very human.
True.
And now we're going to add the whole like it looks like a person thing to it. Could get complex. Could get complex.
Oh, it will get complex. Not could. It already is complex.
Yeah.
I
just don't think people are thinking critically about it as much as they should. It's either like no, absolutely no sex robots, or like yes, 100%. It's like, what if we considered like... just talking about it for a while, just thinking about it.
True, but
in terms of how it affects people.
Well, we won't really know how it affects people until it happens. That's the other thing. Like,
true.
You know, like hypothesizing about an eventuality is not the same as like the eventuality happening. You know what I mean? So like, and then I would say that that gets dangerous too, because you get into an area of like well, I think this is going to happen, so we're not going to do it.
Like a fear-mongering, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
kind of
fear-mongering
thing.
Yeah, kind of thing. That's true. Exactly like that.
That's true.
Yeah, but I completely agree with what you're saying about how it can bring up a lot of concern around like consent and stuff, because you are getting this thing that looks like a human that isn't mm-hmm. consenting to anything.
Yeah.
But it's not a human.
Yes.
So, you know, like,
yeah.
Do
yeah.
you have to worry about the consent? Where do we draw that line? Yes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have to, does your dildo have to consent?
Yes.
You know, like, does a mm-hmm. fleshlight have to consent?
Yes.
What are, like, if is it's motorized,
okay? I was going to say, if it's motorized, does it suddenly need consent?
Right.
If it has a voice, does it need consent?
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
What's the line? It's very complex for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We do have to take, I don't want to go to a break, but we have to.
We have to.
I'm upset. Quick break. I'll play a tune for you and then we'll come back. And honestly, we're going to keep going because this is a good time.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk and Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back.
Hi.
On the radio on 102.7 CILU. You were listening to America Online by The Midnight.
Love The Midnight.
Yeah.
Love great that. Band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful synth wave. Yes. Thought it fit the kind of robot atmosphere.
It did. It was nice very vibe. The vibe. Very yeah. the vibe.
So back to robots. Right. What did we, quick summary, what did we just say about them? How are we feeling? Tell me everything about yourselves.
Tell me everything we just did in half an hour, but in 5 seconds.
Go.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. Question of consent, it looms large.
Looms large. Okay.
Well done, Megan.
She summarized.
I do it.
Go
for
off.
A living. Yeah, question of consent looms large. The humanization of a robot is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she that's kind of where we got with that, to be honest.
Awesome.
I think it can lead to unsafe sex practices when you're actually having sex with another human being as well. Mm-hmm. If it's like some kind of self-lubricating, self-whatevering thing. Because I assume that's what they are. Although I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think maybe that's the future of robotics that people are trying to get to.
Right. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, like, at this time that they're self-lubricating, I don't know how clean that would end up, too, just to have,
true.
Like, a fluid going on.
But they're definitely, like, not, there's no requirement of, like, prep or anything, I don't think.
Like a foreplay situation?
Yeah, like a foreplay, like, you don't need to, like, stretch anything or, like, make sure everything is
yeah,
comfortable.
Yeah, no, I don't believe so. Yeah.
It's made of, they're usually made of, like, silicone or cyber skin, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no requirement for foreplay. There's no requirement for, like, is this okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no, again, like, the consent question mm-hmm. is interesting. So if you're bringing that into a bedroom situation with someone who is human,
mm-hmm.
I think it could cause problems if you've only ever had sex with robots.
True, right? If you've only ever had sex with robots, for sure. But
I'm not saying that's going to be a thing that happens, because this sounds like a very expensive venture, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It probably might be, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. The people who do have sex dolls at this time, yeah, are very wealthy people.
Yes.
And it seems that they're very, like we said, like, into the companionship of them. Like, they're mm-hmm. like, they treat them, like, very well because they're kind of obsessed with them a little bit.
Interesting.
No judgment. Live your life. Whatever.
Yeah, sure. Right. When you're rich, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they, the no foreplay, yeah. It's
yeah.
a bit weird.
Yeah.
It and just again, depends like the, on yeah. how it just really I think it just depends on how much you're humanizing it, because like if
yes.
you're seeing it as just an item, then like then it's a non-issue. But if you're like, this is my robot wife,
yes,
then your robot wife,
if you're like, this is my proxy for a person because yeah. I can't mm-hmm. find a person right now mm-hmm. or something, then yeah, that's a problem because it's not a person.
Truly, this is my robot wife.
Yeah,
that's how I've envisioned it.
Yeah, that's yeah. honestly what mm-hmm. I kind of think it might turn into too.
See, but I'm thinking of, like, scenarios. I want to see the good in that, like, in it, because
yes.
I love technology and I love advancements.
Yes.
And, like, I think that robotic sex toys...
Yes.
Even before they become humanoid, like, robotic sex toys are kind of what's happening on the market right
yeah.
now. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have, like, dildos move on their own.
They
you
do.
Have, like, fleshlights that move on their own
yes.
as well, too.
That simulate real
right.
muscles.
So then making it in the form of a human...
Yes.
I get, because, like, that is what you're, like, we're visual, you
yes.
know? Like, it's just another sense added into the situation. Like, I'm sure eventually they're going to make sex robots, like, smell a certain way. Or,
oh,
like,
for
they're
sure.
going to have the skin taste like human skin.
Probably,
and, like,
yeah.
Slim's
true.
Making a wonderful face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so, like, I get the whole concept and, like, and the want of it.
Yeah.
But it's deciding that, I don't know, I just, it's a philosophical question of, like, is it human enough to require consent if it's
yes.
a purchased item, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But I just feel like you could be supporting human sex workers.
You totally
this
could
is right.
be. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And then, yeah, I think the question, too, then, if it's, like, you're making it so that we can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like if you have a dildo or a fleshlight, you can't mm-hmm. mistake that for a person. You can't be like, I was having sex with a... Like, you can't. It's not possible. Right. Even if it looks realistic, there's no person attached to
right.
it.
Right. No,
whereas if you're like, this thing tastes like a person, it smells like a person, it acts like a person, there's the possibility that you could be like kind of tricked. Obviously, you're doing it intentionally, but you could tell yourself that you're having sex with a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that leads to a lot of problems, I think, if people think that that's what that's like.
Is it tricking you, though? Or are you bought it?
I don't mean tricking in the sense of like, I didn't know. I mean that you can convince yourself and be like, this is a person. This is what real persons are like.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Kind of like how people convince themselves that like the way, like really, the hyper rich convince themselves that the way that their servants treat them is the way all people treat them. And the way that that's just how humans interact. It's like, no, it's not. You're in an artificial environment that you created where everything services you and you enjoy it because that's nice. But that's actually not how real human interaction works. They're getting paid.
True. That's fair. That being said, though, that again goes to like what kind of artificial intelligence is in the robot. Like, if you've programmed it to be a convincing human, like you've programmed it as far as you can to just be like
a person.
Yeah. I would argue that, okay, you've created a person at this point.
Right. Yeah.
It's no longer just a sex robot.
Yeah.
You need to deal with that as a separate issue.
I agree. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people will, though.
If it can make its own decisions, like if it's,
I think they would take away the ability for it to make decisions. They'd be like, doesn't have a birth certificate, not a person.
That's not,
doesn't own land,
but
not
like,
a person.
Can it, like, here's the thing is like how much intelligence and like of its own agency, like, does it have? Like, is it like, no, you can't make decisions because I told you can't make decisions, or is it like programmed into it that it can't make decisions?
I just feel like if someone wanted to have sex with someone who could say no and make choices, then they wouldn't be having sex with a sex robot.
Yes.
Right? So then I don't really understand the point in creating an artificial intelligence to make it so human that it has its own autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Because then,
yes,
what's the point?
You just want to have sex with a person.
No,
you
fully.
Just want something that will never say no to you.
Yeah, so that would, that would necessitate that they would insert something that would stop it from being able to consent.
So then I would say it's not a human, and it wouldn't, like, then the issue of consent doesn't come up as heavy if it doesn't have the ability to make a choice. You know what I mean? Like, if it just is feeding you back lines that it's learned from movies, like, if it's just feeding you back nonsense that the programming knows you'll respond to.
Yes.
Then like then it's not as much of like a, you don't have to worry about the like it being a person.
The trepidation
the personhood
of it being a
of
person.
It, you know?
Yeah.
I think my concern is not consent with the actual robot, it's consent
after the fact
for
the real
as
person.
As a larger idea. And
I feel that. At the same time though, that line of thinking is kind of the same way of violent video games lead to mass shootings sort of thing, which violent video games absolutely lead to like a lack of empathy and increased thoughts of violence and stuff. But like the
access
acting
to guns
on
is what
it,
leads to.
Yeah, the acting on it hasn't been the...
Okay, let me flip that on you though. Access to guns is what leads to mass shootings.
Yeah.
Could not access to unconsensual sex lead to unconsensual sex? Like, unconsensual sex with a robot lead to unconsensual sex with a human being?
I don't want to say that it would.
It could. I'm saying, is it possible? Does A equal B and A equal B? Do those connections make sense?
I don't want to say that they do.
No?
No, because I feel
you
like
think
that
someone
puts
can tell
too
the
much
difference.
On, like... I feel like that puts too much on, like... like, you need to take ownership of it, kind of. Like, no, that's on that person. Like,
no, it absolutely is. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying, like, if you give them the ability to do it continually and without being checked, and then you're like, yeah, let's unleash you on the world. It's like, well, why did you let them do that in the first place, though?
Well, then from what age are they having sex with this robot? Like,
this
what age
question.
Are they having, like,
yeah.
a non-consensual sexual relationship, then?
This is a good question. I do
because
know.
Then you could just say, like, well, you've been just like violently masturbating for years,
yes.
and then we unleashed you onto the world. Well, that's a lot of people
yes.
already.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hmm.
I feel like it just keeps coming back to the personhood of the robot. Like,
yeah, I think no. Yeah, I think I don't like I. Not to be that person, but like I don't really care about the robot at this point. I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where the robot is going to be the issue of consent. I think the issue comes later on or in interactions with human beings
mm-hmm.
that stem from that interaction. Kind of like how violent pornography leads to unrealistic expectations of sex with real people.
Right. Yeah,
I think fully. It would be a similar vein of unrealistic expectations from partners that could lead to violence, could just lead to awkward times and bad sex,
mm-hmm.
but could lead to violence and like bad things for the person who maybe didn't have sex with a robot and for the person who did.
Yeah.
I think it could lead to, yeah, that kind of like misinformation and not knowing what's going on because you learned it different or you learned it in a way that's harmful.
Fair. Yeah. No, yeah. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
I think though that like I would say that, I don't know. I want to put that on society though. Like I want to.
Yeah.
Like.
Why don't we teach people to ask for consent? Why don't we? Why do like, we teach them about that, sex so they know how like, to do it? No, absolutely.
And like the access to violent pornography and like.
Yeah.
All of that kind of thing. Like, why did you want that in the first place?
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. You know, yes. Like I feel like it goes back to more like. That the person needs to be addressed, you know, like less than like the sex robot causes the problem. The person has a problem.
No, yeah. I agree. I just think that it's like aiding in that person thinking that that's normal, like normalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Like the objectification of women does not need another
tool to do it. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We don't need another outlet for just like very easy objectification mm-hmm. where it literally is an object, even though it looks like a person.
No, fully.
Yeah.
Fully.
It's very complex.
And it's like the thing about it, too, is like it's so obviously objectification of women because like robots
it's so direct.
They're much more women than there are male sex robots.
Right. Like, absolutely.
I have not even
and
seen
artificial
one in
intelligences,
research.
So many more.
The mm-hmm. women's voice most, all the time.
Mostly women, mm-hmm. almost always.
True. Very valid.
Mm-hmm.
Serious voice.
It's because women are seen as servile. I did research on it, actually. Yeah. It's not like if a man tells you how to get somewhere, you're like, stop telling me what to do. I don't want to listen to you, whether you're a man or a woman. Like, I don't want to listen to you.
Yeah.
Whereas if a woman, if a kind woman's gentle voice is telling you what to do, you're like, okay, yeah, she's just trying to help. Like, that's all. Because we assume women are always trying to help us and are trying to, whereas we're in competition with men.
Hmm.
That makes sense. I do not like listening to men.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not tell me where to go, what to do.
Don't ever tell me anything. Yeah, it's spooky.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's close up sex
for now.
For
we'll probably
moment.
Come back to it.
Yeah,
but it's because there's going to be new developments all the time, I would assume. So
absolutely.
We'll come back to it for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, close that up. Sex robots. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, truly. We're back there. Yeah.
Yes. Polyamory, though?
Polyamory and open relationships. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's hit us with some knowledge.
Well, this like kind of started, Celine turned us on to an episode of a podcast called Media Indigenea, and the episode is called Remaking the Indigenous Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's numerous Indigenous scholars. The main one that I was like really interested in was Kim Tallbear, was talking about the way that basically the way we consider relationships and like the nuclear family and marriage is all a settler construction, is all mm-hmm. a colonialist construction, and its purpose is to build the state and make us individuals that follow its rules, essentially. And
right.
that it's all just for the purpose of making the state stronger and owning land.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kim is a queen.
And she's a queen. Look her up on Twitter. She's got some great tweets.
She's amazing.
She's so cool. She's the best.
I want to be her.
So after listening to that, I also listened to another podcast where they were talking about open relationships, but it was from a very cis straight woman perspective
okay.
of how if you like even in films or in movies or in TV shows, how they talk about open relationships as like a way to make cheating okay. It's like we're in a monogamous relationship. You cheated. Now we have an open relationship so you can keep having sex with other people, but we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to actually set any boundaries on what our open relationship is. It becomes unhealthy a lot of the time
right.
mm-hmm, when it's mm-hmm. depicted in media.
Absolutely.
Right. but it can be a healthy thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just don't see it represented that way because, again, the system repeats itself back to us and says, you should want to be in a monogamous relationship, man and a woman, have 2.5 kids, buy a house. These are the things you should do to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we buy into it because it's everywhere. It's mm-hmm. all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, ideally open relationships are relationships in which a couple seeks out sexual relationships outside of their partnership, but does not seek out romantic relationships outside of their partnership. Mm-hmm. So that's usually like you have a main partner that you maybe live with or that you are bound to, maybe by the law, maybe not, mm-hmm. and you have sex with whomever you want outside of that relationship. The important thing about these kind of relationships is that they have rules, regulations, kind of a set way that they work. Mm-hmm. It's all about communication, like with everything to do with sex. You just have to talk to the people you're having sex with, let them know what's going on, mm-hmm. and it just leads to a lot less heartbreak. Mm. Polyamorous relationships are relationships in which both partners are free to seek out other romantic and sexual relationships, both including their partner and without them. So this can be like three person in a relationship situation, two people in a relationship, and each one has multiple relationships outside of it. It can be really anything you want it to be. Again, it's all about discussion and talking. It's all about transparency is really the big thing. Because if yeah. you're hiding things from your partner, that's no longer a healthy relationship.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
If you feel the need to hide it, it's not open. It's you're hiding you're it. Cheating. It's closed. Right. Yeah. You're cheating yeah. on them.
Exactly. You can still be cheating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like there's kind of different ways to go about it too, because if you're choosing to change the status of your relationship from a monogamous one to a polyamorous one, you can totally feel free to do that if you think that's what you want. But if you're doing it out of fear of your partner mm-hmm. leaving you because you think they're cheating on you or you think they want something else, mm-hmm. that's not going to fix it. And that's also not a polyamorous relationship.
Right.
Because you don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fully.
But again, if you're like, well, you know, I think I actually would really benefit from this. I think we would both benefit from this. And mm-hmm. I think this is a healthy thing. And you have a discussion about it. Feel free. You can also go into a relationship expecting to be polyamorous and like let your partner know. That's totally fine and totally valid. You don't have to like start out monogamous and then expand or like become kinky. People seem to think it's kinky.
Absolutely.
That you suddenly become it's bored. So true. Basically, you become bored with your yeah. monogamous relationship and you're like, let me try something else. Like, it doesn't have to be that. You can start off with the idea that, yeah, no, I think multiple partnerships is the way I would like to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that people identify as being poly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as in that's always what they want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just feel personally that it would be dependent on a situation for me or like a phase in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I do feel like it's it comes across right now as like trendy amongst young people, right. like in their 20s, mm-hmm. 30s right now.
Yes.
To be polyamorous, just like you said, like mm-hmm. identifying as polyamorous, whereas yes. like it kind of, I think I agree with you, and I'm kind of putting words in your mouth right now, but it comes out of the relationship that you're in. Like every relationship is different. Mm, so if your partner yeah. is not polyamorous and you are, your relationship needs to adjust for both of you to be comfortable and trusting and happy in it.
Right.
Right. Like it's.
Yeah. Not that I've ever been in any kind of successful polyamorous situation, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about it, especially Kim Talbert.
Yeah.
She is Indigenous and she talks about like decolonization and decolonizing your love and your sex,
yeah,
and how difficult it is for Native people to do that because of like basically settler colonialism,
yeah,
and how it's affected our relationships and our family structures.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And especially with like state intervention in family relationships.
Yes.
And yeah, highly recommend that podcast.
It's really everyone. Good. It's really interesting.
So good.
Yeah,
I love her so much.
True. I really like a point that she made about having like a relationship that the state would not recognize mm-hmm. as a relationship.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually snatched that and used it yesterday. Someone had asked me if I was, they were like, are you seeing anybody? And I was like, I don't know that what I'm doing is what the state would consider dating, right. but I yeah. am involved with people.
Yeah.
So, like, and it makes full sense, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think it through, like,
yeah,
our relationships are currently defined by what the government
marital status
yeah calls yeah. a relationship
yep
mm-hmm.
whereas like we have tons of relationships and they're all very diverse and various things take place in them.
And have value in different ways, yeah, depending on, yeah, who you are.
And mm-hmm. you can have polyamorous relationships without sex, just like you can mm-hmm. have relationships with people without sex.
Exactly.
Yeah. So sex isn't necessarily a determining factor.
Totally. Yeah.
It's true. And I do feel that a lot of people, I think that just comes back to like the colonial ideas of relationships mm-hmm. and whatnot. But a lot of what we identify as two people being in a relationship is just two people who are having sex with each other, and mm-hmm. we all know it.
Yes.
And generally for the purpose of procreating.
Yeah, yes. That yeah. too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, we're fed this idea that we get security in yes. another person. So I think people...
We get wholeness.
Yeah, so yeah. I think people think of being polyamorous as, like, not safe or, like, on unstable ground.
I heard someone describe it as people think love is divided, but it's multiplied. So yes. I think if you have multiple partners, you're dividing the love between seven people or three people instead of just one, where you should be getting all of it. But it's multiplied. You're giving love to a bunch of different people in a bunch of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? I think they said that on the... What is that show? The one with the... Polygamy, the guy with all the wives.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
Cody with his wives.
What is it called?
I'm concerned now.
Is it called Sister Wives?
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
okay,
yes.
I heard this from noted non-binary icon and polyamorous person Bethany C. Myers, who is not a polygamist. That's okay. where I got that from.
Thank you for that. Because I
Google them.
Sure
they're great. They created an exercise program that's incredible called the Become Project. But anyway, yeah, no, it's from a person who I'm like, no, I trust your opinions on polyamory. You are in a poly relationship.
Yeah.
And you're a chill person.
And I think that happens too. Is that people co-opt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the goodness of a mm-hmm. of a thing and just put it on there.
Well, yeah, people use like open relationships to cheat instead yeah. of using them to like explore relationships and how they work and how maybe pairing up isn't the only way to have a relationship.
Yeah, fully.
Big facts.
Yeah.
And like not the only way to raise a child too.
At all.
If you yes. intend to. Like yeah. there that was another thing that Kim Talbert had said about the way that we raise children and like the difference between like mm-hmm. the white family
yes.
raising mm-hmm. children versus a native family raising mm-hmm. children, and like how many more I would say female
yes.
presences mm-hmm. are in the life of a child versus yes. like mm-hmm. in like the white family. It's like the one, and then the man
yes.
is just so important, almighty,
yes.
owns the child.
Yes,
exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that just the child rearing also is something that we as a society could take a look at and say, hey, we're not really doing a good job.
Exactly, yeah.
We could
yeah.
change that up a bit.
We could change it and yeah, maybe make it better.
Maybe more influences.
Yeah, it's not
one couple
yeah.
is the best.
Is natural, yeah. is the way it's supposed yeah. to be, mm-hmm. is ludicrous.
Yeah. And like, I even think too, like to like my friends' families growing up and whatnot, and like how many of my friends were kind of raised by their grandparents
yeah.
or like their aunts and uncles. And
yeah.
like, but we still have this idea in our heads of like, but mom and dad
yeah. are the only
are
ones
the only ones who would have understood you, got you,
raised
been able
you right.
to raise you.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah
There's
yeah.
a very good book called The Life Stages of Native Women by Kim Campbell, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about Native family structure. That's mm. really good. Highly mm. recommend.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let that recommendation sit with you guys and
girls.
Take us out.
See you next week. Send us an email. Hit us up on Instagram or Twitter.
Please do.
It's been fun. This has been Having Sex With on 102.7 CILU, the radio. Bye.
Bye.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly.